couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Chase Well, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We got another guest host. Welcome to the program, Chase Whale from Gordon and the Whale.
Thank you.
I'd like to first let's get our paperwork out of the way to tell everybody how to get a hold of us, and then we'll talk a little bit about you because this is the first time you're on the show.
Very true.
This is Fat. You can get us on fatguysinthemovies.com if you're downloading us somewhere else. You can get us through the iTunes feed. Just go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Now, again, like I said, welcome to Chase for being on the show.
Thank you.
First time ever on the show. And I have to say, there are two things that I would point out. First of all, Chase and I know each other through Twitter. We've never talked before today.
Never.
I feel like I'm setting people up for like a game show or something like that. but Chase, first tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came to be.
Yeah, man. I am the editor-in-chief for GordonandTheWhale.com. There's no A in Gordon, but we did buy the Gordon with an A domain because so many people would spell it with an A. So if you do type in Gordon with an A, you will find us. Yeah, we launched 3 years ago, just me and another guy. Went to film school together. We argued about movies, and I said, hey, it'd be funny if we filmed ourselves arguing and put it online. He's like, yeah, and I was like, but we need a website name. And he said, Gordon and the Well. Sounds like a children's book.
Yeah, because that's what you want. You just want to rope those little kids in there so you can discuss Showgirls.
And instead of, we don't rope in with candy. We rope in with Disney movies and then switch to Showgirls.
Wow.
Yeah. We just went from there.
So if you went to film school, are you a film snob? Do you consider yourself a film snob?
Not at all. I am not a film snob or pretentious movie watcher at all. I will share a secret with the world right now. With Fat Guys,
you
movies.
Do it. I don't know if the world. You might share it with like seven people.
I probably own about 10 DVDs and Blu-rays total.
Really?
Yeah.
The rest you steal?
No, something about a year ago, I just kind of burned out on collecting, so I just don't collect. I watch them, and then when I get Blu-rays in for review, if I review them, I keep them. If one of my writers reviews them, I let them keep the copy.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
You're like, here, you can keep the copy of the backup plan.
Yeah, my friend just had a birthday here Saturday, and I was like, oh, I got you a present. And he was like, what is it? And I was like, M. Night Shyamalan.
All the crappy Blu-rays I don't want.
I was like, M. Night Shyamalan presents Devil. And he was like, oh, do I have to review it too? And I was like, yep.
Devil's a good movie, man.
Is it?
Devil is a good movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna watch it at his house. But, yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I have to share two things about you. We, like you said, we know each other through Twitter, and I saw a couple tweets. So first of all, I was expecting your voice to be a lot lower. This is the first time we've ever talked, because you had tweeted out earlier this week that somebody had said that they expected your voice to be a lot higher.
Yeah.
So when you answered the Skype, I was expecting you to be like, it was like to be Barry White. Now here's like soft jazz in the background. Bow, 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 and have you go, hello, Kevin, what's going on?
You should watch that VU video I have, because he was, whoever said, I thought your voice would be higher. Mm-hmm. Can you record? And so I went to iTunes and played this like low pitch thing where it's very.
Did you do modulate it so you'd be like, hello?
No.
Did you sound like Satan?
It's a very inappropriate song that's in just super low pitch, and I just played that for like 2 minutes, and then that was that.
Wow. So yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I also have to take issue with something that you put on Twitter, because you tweeted out that you were going to be on the show, mm-hmm. which was nice. Thank you. And but you're like, you like listed what you're doing today, and you're like, I gotta go see this movie, I gotta do this, and I'm gonna be on the show, and then I'm gonna go home and watch this, and then I've gotta run 2 miles.
Yep.
I am sorry. I've, you know, we've had the show's Fat Guys in the Movies, and we've had fat guys on, and well, we've also had non-fat guys. We have non-guys on. We've had non-fat people on, and we will take anybody, but I'm sorry. We don't accept. It is not acceptable to voluntarily run. It's a hassle for me. My grocery store is about a mile and a half from my house, and it's a hassle for me to get in my car to drive there. So I'm just saying I have to take issue with that.
Well, today I will postpone the running, and when Neil gets home, I'll eat some more ice cream cake with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what we've been doing every night since his birthday, is eating this really delicious ice cream cake that he bought himself.
How big of an ice cream cake is it?
It is gigantic.
Wasn't his birthday like 6 weeks ago? You're still eating this ice cream cake? You bought three refrigerators just to save it.
We have to have people come over with a saw to cut it down.
It's like just a tree. That's awesome. Now I want ice cream cake so bad.
Ice cream cake's so good.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, let's move on to stuff that may not be as good as ice cream cake. We're going to be doing the movies this week, and Chase kind of did this at the last minute, so I do not blame him for not getting a chance to see some of these, or any of them. But the first one is The Tourist, in which Johnny Depp is mistaken for an international spy on the run with Angelina Jolie.
It all started when I met a woman on the train.
I'm Elise.
I'm Frank.
That's a terrible name.
It's the only one I've got.
Maybe we can find you another.
Okay. Why is everyone trying to kill me?
Alexander Pierce stole big money from a gangster. They think you are him.
The man's a criminal wanted in 14 countries.
It's gone too far.
What was your take on the movie if you saw the trailers? Do you know anything about this?
Yeah. It's weird seeing Johnny Depp just play a normal guy, and it's
expect him to go Willy Wonka all over you.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't. It's weird because you know, two of our biggest stars, and it just does not look interesting at all. And it's a cool, you know, it's a cool idea. But how many times have we seen, you know, mistaken identity movies? And I don't know.
Well, I can assure you, this is not a good movie. Here's the thing. You're right. It's Johnny Depp playing just normal, which is, there's nothing interesting about that. I mean, Johnny Depp is, he works best when he plays a real character, and here he's just supposed to be playing the average guy, but it's so low key. It's not even like an affable average guy where you're just like, oh, it's so funny. Like, I'll give you a great example, like Night and Day, which wasn't a great movie, but Cameron Diaz was the average girl, but she was still wacky and kooky and zany and weird, and there's something appealing about her.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's just, he's there. And Angelina Jolie, yes, she's pretty. But it's just, they rely just completely on her star power and no actual real characterization or anything like that. But part of the problem with it is it's just nothing happens. It is the most boring action international spy thriller I've ever seen in my life. They have like a boat chase it's like watching the OJ chase. It takes like forever. But yeah, it reminds me of the days when Angelina Jolie post Tomb Raider, when she was making movies like Original Sin. We got to go to a break. We'll talk a little bit more about The Tourist when we get back.
Hey, welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We were just talking about The Tourist. Kevin did not like it. He was unblessed to see it and sit through it this morning.
Yeah.
And I luckily, luckily had work, my other job. So let's pick up where you were talking about the boringness of the action movie.
Yeah, the fact that they're like on this, because it takes place in Venice, and which you would think, because they've done some really awesome Venice action scenes. I think they had stuff from like Ocean, one of the Ocean's movies, and also was it Moonraker that they were in Venice?
Mm-hmm.
May have been Moonraker. And, you know, they have the boat sequence. There's a scene where they're being chased in boats, and it's just they're going like 5 miles an hour. And it's the most uninteresting, most boring. And there's no chemistry between the two of them at all.
If they had John Woo filming it and replaced Angelina Jolie with John Travolta and mm-hmm. Johnny Depp with Nicolas Cage, it would have probably been an awesome boat chase.
It would have been an awesome boat chase, and the kissing scenes would have been even more interesting.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah, it's just like, well, we got to make out now. That's how it rolls. But yeah, it's just, it is the most uninspired movie. It's one of those that's almost alarmingly bad. Because you'd expect so much from it. So, yeah, like I said, it goes back to Original Sin and the not the biblical concept, the movie that she did with Antonio Banderas. She had that run of movies. It was after that first Tomb Raider, and it wasn't until Mr. and Mrs. Smith that it was just nothing but crap movies.
Yeah.
And she was still a big name. But, yeah, so this movie sucks. That's the official Fat Guys grade. It sucks.
Itsucks.com.
It sucks, yes. Well, yeah, we have rock. It either rocks or it sucks, and we can say it kind of rocks or it kind of sucks. But the next one we're going to talk about is The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, in which Lucy and Edmund Pevensey return to Narnia on a ship trying to save people from a great evil.
Lucy, have you seen this ship before?
It's very Narnian looking, isn't it?
What's going on here?
Edmund the painting.
So if there are no wars to fight, then why are we here?
You've got an extraordinary destiny. Something greater than you could have imagined.
I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but I've never seen any of the Narnias. I've never had a desire to, and you know, running the site, we've had writers who have been fans of the, I guess, the books and the films, and have been the ones reviewing them. So I haven't seen any of them.
You haven't seen any? I mean, not just the big ones, the movie that Disney did a couple years ago, but you haven't seen like the old BBC version or the cartoon.
I did, but I was so young that It was, I don't know.
You never saw The Lion, the Witch, and the Whale?
That one I actually directed.
Oh, there you go.
But I never watched it, but I directed it.
There you go. So you don't have any expectations to live up to or anything like that?
No, not with this. I mean, I know it's as far as, you know, the CGI or graphics and things like that, from my understanding, it holds up pretty well.
Yeah, I know they changed a little bit in the book from the book. I have not read. I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe like when I was a kid, but I never read Prince Cat. I never read anything past that. So the Dawn Treader, they've changed a little bit of it. The biggest thing is it takes about half the movie to really find its footing. It kind of stumbles around and it doesn't really know what it's doing, and then finally it's like, oh, here's the story, and then they move on. And I would say of the three, it's the most kid friendly, which is good because that's what Disney's going for. Fox, because Disney did the first two. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe made like $750 million worldwide, and then they had a bigger budget for Prince Caspian, and it made less, so it was a bit of a disappointment, and Disney dumped the franchise, and Fox picked it up with Walden Media. And even though they've got a lower budget, it was still like $140 million. So it still needs to do really well. But I'll tell you, it works, especially for a kids' movie. I took my two kids, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old, and they loved it. They said it's their favorite of the three. So I think it speaks. I mean, it's got like a dragon in it, and it's full of the action and the sci-fi, the special effects and that sort of thing. And it works. It's a relatively simple story. Once they find their footing, I enjoyed it. Now it's in 3D, but I will caution you, if you hate 3D, if you're one of the 3D haters or you're one of those, I mean, are you okay with the 3D, Chase?
Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm glad they changed the glasses. I did not like 3D with those those red and green.
Oh, yeah.
Because well, I could never see.
At least you know
ever.
That. There are people who like aren't aware that they used to have the anaglyph glasses. Those youngins.
Yeah. Oh, kids.
But, well, yeah. But because I know people who just, like Roger Ebert, not that I know Roger Ebert, but there are some people who just, if it's in 3D, they hate it.
Yeah.
You know, there are haters out there. But
I think it's grown to hate it just for the sake of being 3D, just because 3D just blew up so insanely over the last, you know, 2 years. Now, like, it's news when something's not being shot in 3D.
Yeah. I think the 3D helps some movies just sort of get a little bit of a footing and gives people a reason to go see it in the theaters. The thing is with this, it is conversion 3D, and it's not terribly well done. I mean, it's not like Last Airbender bad in terms of a conversion process, but it's probably on the lines of maybe a little bit better than Clash of the Titans. But it reminded me of Clash of the Titans in the sense that It didn't bring the depth that you would expect from 3D because they didn't shoot it for that.
Yeah.
and they threw it in at the end. And what's funny is the theater I saw it in, it was incredibly dark. And I'm not blaming the movie. I'm blaming the theater because I think their projection system, they just threw it. It was obviously a digital print. They just threw it on the screen and they didn't adjust the brightness for the fact that you're having half of the movie, half of the light disappearing through your glasses. So, because I've seen the trailer ahead of other movies in a properly balanced theater, and that looked fine, but this one just seemed exceedingly dark when I actually saw the film.
They, Fox hasn't done a very good job on marketing it, because I'm not being, maybe this because I don't follow it, but I haven't seen any marketing on this film.
You might be, I don't know, maybe it's just what you're watching.
Yeah,
because I mean you're not watching the Cartoon Network, I would imagine, or Nickelodeon.
Only when no one's home.
Yeah, only when no one's home. You want to feel sexy. You buy yourself a beer.
I drink beer and eat cereal.
That's just sick. my kids were very much aware of it, and they're throwing the trailer in front of a lot of 3D movies. I mean, I don't think they threw it in front of like Piranha. But other movies, like I think it was like Revenge of Kitty Galore, it was in front of that. So I think they're marketing it young, which is good because I think that's the audience it needs to have. And it's the other thing is it's short. It's less than 2 hours. The other two movies were like 2.5 hours each.
Oh, that's good.
They were big epic movies, and this one's. Like I said, it's very family friendly. I mean, it's got the creature violence in it. But there is one scene in there, and it's near the end. And I'm just going to say this. It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow scene.
Yes.
When you see this movie, you'll be like, it's like right out of Ghostbusters. Just when you see it, start thinking. The scene will come up, and you'll watch it and be like, this is what Kevin was talking about. This is the Stay Puft Marshmallow scene.
Nice.
And I think it was very unintentional, but it worked. I mean, for what it was, I enjoyed it, and my kids liked it. I didn't feel like I wasted my time. It's in my opinion not the strongest of the Narnia movies. I thought the first one was the best, but I hope it does well because I'd like to see more.
Yeah, good. This is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, so. You know, this is also the only other time this has been put to screen was the BBC did a run of it in the late 80s and early 90s. And of course, it was back when now the BBC makes quality stuff. But back then, everything was shot on video and it looked like crap. And they're like, ooh, state of the art special effects. And it looks like the Star Wars holiday special,
which we are hosting a Star Wars special tonight in Dallas.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a great movie. With B. Arthur?
I believe so. Singing? It's either that or the Clone Wars. I can't it's a toss up, and James, my managing editor in Dallas, is taking care of all that.
It should be Star Wars Holiday Special. Because it's got like it's full of dead celebrities. So.
And Lucas is denying that he's gonna bring him back, but we all have faith in him that he's gonna digitally bring him back, and it's going to be weird.
I think he should, and I think he should do the remastered version of the Star Wars Holiday Special and release it in theaters in 3D. Coming 2013. Anyways, we got to go. When we come back, we're going to go to the middle segment.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are back with the third segment, which for Chase, who really didn't have a whole lot to say in the last two because he hasn't seen the movies, this is your chance to shine now.
All right.
You can also swear.
Fuck shit, bitch.
Wow. Just throw that down. Oh. You're done. I'm spent.
I'm done.
Oh. Anyway, so we were talking about very inappropriate stuff off the air, so we won't share that with you. Chronicles of Narnia is for me it kind of rocked. So that's my official grade.
Sweet.
Let's talk about box office.
Man, I'm looking at the box office last weekend, and this is quite embarrassing. I've only seen one of the top five of the box office.
That's because you spent your time going to see The Warrior's Way and The Nutcracker 3D. Because those were going to take the weekend.
Oh, man, that sucks, man. Yeah, I've only seen Deathly Hallows, which I think is the best in the series.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's obviously the most grown up. And it's just, as far as characters go, for a while you get tired of Harry's little whining and everything. And this one, yeah. I started feeling for him. It's like, man, there's just destruction all around me, and I'm just exhausted. And I really enjoyed it a lot. And I have not read the books. I'm going to go ahead and throw that disclaimer out there. Have not read the books. But I'm really looking forward to the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, I really did enjoy this last Harry Potter movie, and it's doing well. What's funny is I love watching the box office reports and people like going, it's plummeting! And I'm like, it made like $600 million in its first 10 days.
Yeah.
So it can drop 78% this weekend. It's still an enormous hit.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I always have a problem with box office reporting. I have a love-hate relationship with it because they you know, people will just put their opinion in there as opposed to actually just reporting it.
Yeah.
Just report the numbers. Just tell me what it says. But the big news, of course, was Tangled actually beat Harry Potter last weekend, which is, I mean, not unexpected. I mean, Tangled's a cute movie. It definitely plays well. I think the biggest thing that Narnia is going to be facing is it's coming out at a time where it's crowded for the kind of movies that it is. Whereas, like, if you remember last summer when Transformers 2 came out, like a year and a half ago, it kind of came out in this vacuum where everything leading up to it didn't do well. That would be in the same wheelhouse. And everything following it, like for the next 2 weeks, just didn't click. So it kind of was, whether or not you thought it was a good movie, it just sort of existed in this island and people wanted the event movie. And that was kind of their only option because they weren't going to go see like Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
Or Public Enemies or anything like that, which all came in out about the same time. Whereas now Narnia, it's coming at, hey, I got Harry Potter, you got Tangled, which it's fighting for against those. And then the following weeks, you got Tron and Yogi Bear the next week. Then the following week, you've got Gulliver's Travel. So all the like kids market stuff, that's sort of like the kids event 3D big blockbuster Christmas movies, it's coming out in a sea of that as opposed to, you know, so I think it's going to drop off the map fast, not because of the quality of the film, but just there's going to be other stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah. And back to like the marketing, like I've seen a lot of stuff on Yogi Bear, which looks absolutely atrocious. but I've seen just so much marketing on it. And maybe it's because, you know, growing up, Yogi Bear was something I watched religiously. So that's why so many sites are reporting on it. But I haven't seen anything on Narnia, and so that's why if there's a lot of people out there like me that are hardcore moviegoers and just haven't been interested in it, it's just going to come and go.
Well, the blogosphere has never really been into the Narnia movies.
Yeah, very true.
Ever since the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Prince Caspian came out a couple of years ago, it was, no one was really reporting about it because it was kind of, you know, it wasn't geek friendly, I guess is the way to say it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but then again, you know, just because it gets reported in the blogosphere doesn't mean that's going to dictate the box office or, you know, Scott Pilgrim would have been the biggest movie of 2010.
I know, man, that was the biggest, like, whoa, what just happened?
I saw that coming a mile away. I knew people are like, it's going to make the box office. I'm like, it's going to be lucky to get in top five.
I knew it would explode on like Blu-ray and DVD though.
Oh yeah. But I mean, it's a niche market.
Yeah.
And even then Scott Pilgrim was a niche market within a niche market. Whereas, because it was not just comic fan, it's like you had to like know about Scott Pilgrim to really appreciate it.
Oh, true.
And, you know, you could find it, but yeah, it was a niche within a niche.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Narnia movies play completely outside of the blogosphere, so it's very hard to get a read in sort of what we do.
This weekend is, I don't know, I don't think there's going to be very big numbers this weekend because I mean, I know The Fighter's opening limited.
Like in four theaters, though. So
yeah, and
that'll have like that huge per screen average, but on the whole, it'll make like $100,000.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain Narnia is gonna break $20 million, but I don't know about The Tourist.
Narnia will make. I look for Narnia to make, you know, 35-40 million. I think it's gonna do well, partly because of the 3D prices.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now you've had a couple weeks since Tank. I mean, like Nutcracker. It's not gonna. No one's keeping Nutcracker in the theaters. But Tangle's been a couple weeks since Tangle's been out. So Narnia is gonna get in all the 3D theaters, and it's gonna have the surcharge on it. Of course, it's all gonna be pushed out next week with Yogi Bear and Tron.
Yeah.
But I really think that Narnia is gonna do fine, and then internationally it'll do totally fine.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna do. Clash of the Titans numbers. It's going to do well enough, and it's going to be a decent hit in the States, and it'll do really, really well overseas.
Yeah, I get good enough to keep it going, I guess.
You would imagine as long as it makes $300 to $400 million worldwide, it should be fine.
Yeah.
But if it tanks, you won't see another Narnia movie. But I'd like to see it do well. I like these movies, and especially as a parent. This is a great little series to take your kids to.
It's kind of strange that, like, with Harry Potter, when the first one came out, like, everyone knew the second, third, fourth, the whole series would be released. And from what I see from hearing with Narnia, it's like, if it does well, we might see another one. And that's just, that's strange just how it works out.
Well, I think part of it, a couple things with Harry Potter. First of all, if the first one made like $1 billion worldwide. So, and then the next one, they've all done steady business, partly because it's been, the books were coming out. I think when the second movie was coming out, the fourth or fifth book was coming out. So you had this sort of perfect storm of media.
Yeah.
Plus it was international. Plus it kind of hits all four quadrants that everybody wants. But Narnia, I think, plays to a different audience. And these are old books, and the books it's not like Harry Potter in the sense that there's this ongoing story that needs to be told. You don't have that 7 years. These were books that just C.S. Lewis kept writing them.
Yeah.
And they're like 60 years old. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see it. I think it'll do well. It just will it do well enough to demand a sequel.
We will see.
The world will find out, apparently. So any other? I mean, you don't think The Tourist? I don't think The Tourist is going to do well.
Probably. No, I don't. I don't think it'll break 15, if 10, which is
it's going to do like numbers like The American. Mm-hmm. That's what it kept reminding me of when that came out in September. Which I think The American was a better movie, but part of it is it's going for that sort of grown up, sophisticated audience, but it's got stars that the star power. Well, the star power targets a younger audience, even though Johnny Depp's like 65 years old. he still is an appeal to the younger audience. Same thing with Angelina Jolie. It appeals to the younger audience. But I don't think the younger audience would have any interest in this movie.
No, it does not. It's weird because it's a cool, like you said, it's got star power, Depp and Jolie, and it's a spy espionage, wrongfully accused, I'm on the run movie. That should be interesting, but yeah. I think one big thing is Depp's character being, from what I've seen in the trailer, is like just too boring. It's just maybe
you're absolutely right.
I mean, if you switched it to like James McAvoy, I mean, he, you know, look what he did with like Wanted. It could be a different, you know, just like the average everyday guy, and then make it somewhat entertaining. But with Depp, like, it's just no. We need him. We need to be confused if he's on drugs or completely
well,
sober.
Well, Depp shines in the roles. I mean, what's he most known for? Pirates, mm-hmm. Edward Scissorhands.
Freddy's Dead.
You know, Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. Well, was he? No, he was in the first one.
Yeah. Well, he had a small cameo in Freddy's Dead.
That's right. That's right. thank you for pulling that one out. 21 Jump Street. No. But no, I mean, Depp is best when he's doing the off-kilter character.
Absolutely.
I mean, he when he does normal people, even something like Finding Neverland, he was just sort of there. I mean, I think he got did he get nominated for that?
I don't remember, but I adore that movie. And I see, that's you just hit me with that. I completely forgot about that. He was normal in that movie, and I really enjoyed his performance.
But his career, his filmography is just nothing but off-kilter
characters. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Hunter Thompson, and I mean, you can't think of you would be hard pressed to find off the top of your head five movies that he's been in that he played totally normal and straight.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and Angelina Jolie, she's getting skinny. Man, she looks weird.
She needs to eat a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways. So we're going to move on to the Fat Guy 5, which, of course, you know, based on our movies, we have, and this was our, I was saying, let's do the five favorite franchises, and Chase wisely was like, no, five favorite franchises that don't star Johnny Depp or Angelina Jolie. because it removes the powerhouse Tomb Raider franchise.
Yeah.
And the Pirates franchise.
I remember seeing Tomb Raider 2.
And we can't use Nightmare on Elm Street either.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. I saw it in theaters, Tomb Raider 2, and when she punches the shark, I walked out.
you actually physically left the movie?
Yeah, I said, game over, I'm out.
my experience, I think I've told this on the show, but I'll tell it again. When I saw Tomb Raider, I saw it, I was in Oxnard, California. Which is, if you haven't been to Oxnard, it's sort of the northern suburb of L.A. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like Trophy Wife Central. It's where all the trophy wives go to die. Because you see these women who you're like, you were probably smoking hot when you were 20. And you married the plastic surgeon who was 50. But now you're 50.
Yeah.
And you look like shit. and so all it does is just breed snotty kids. So me and a friend, we were out there in L.A. and we were staying up in Calabasas, and we'd gone up to Oxnard for the movie. We wanted to see this movie, so we went to the theater, and it was a big theater. And back then, I had hair. I had this big head of hair, and I mean, I looked like a trucker. I was wearing this plaid shirt. I mean, I looked like a psychopath. And we're sitting there watching the movie, and like a group of like 20 kids, like 20 like teenagers came in, and they were farting around there and leaping over the chairs and goofing off, and I'm trying to watch the movie, and I'm like, it's bad enough. I get more pissed off when it's a shitty movie and people are destroying it, because I'm like, I already have to sit through a crappy movie and I've paid for it. You know, I can't just block you out and enjoy it. And so in the middle of it, I turn over, I learn, look over to the girls, and I go, hey, you shut the fuck up.
Yes.
And I thought I was going to kill them. And one girl goes, you shut the fuck up. And her friend's like, no!
Don't say that!
Don't taunt him! And then they left. Because no one talks to him like that. Because everybody be like, my dad will fire you. I'm like, he can't fire me. I don't have a job.
Do you know what I do for a living?
I write movie reviews. You're in my house. So. Oh, anyways, let's do the five favorite franchises that do not star Johnny Depp or Angelina Jolie. The first one, I've got to say, is one of my favorite franchises of all time, one of the biggest franchises of all time, the James Bond franchise, going all the way back to Dr. No and finally getting some sort of sense that it's actually going to continue on after the MGM bankruptcy with Daniel Craig. And because I think he's a fantastic Bond.
Oh,
I can't wait. Absolutely. I can't wait. So,
what about
you, Bond fan?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually really curious how Sam Raimi is gonna hold up, because he's more of our Oscar winning artistic.
You mean Sam Mendes?
Yes, I did not mean Sam Raimi.
I was about to say Sam Raimi didn't win an Oscar.
Yeah,
he tried.
Sam Mendes. Sorry, Miss Winslet. I didn't mean that.
That was really funny, is because I'm like, here, did I miss a news story or something?
Oh, man.
Although Sam Raimi directing a Bond movie would be friggin' awesome.
Especially if Bruce Campbell was Bond.
Yes. No, he should be the villain.
Oh, God. He would make an excellent villain.
He would be such an awesome Bond villain.
Hollywood, I hope you're listening.
Yes, because they do. They listen to the show, and they don't do anything we say.
All right. So what our second one is the one I picked, and I have no shame in this, is the Scream franchise. I have so much fun watching those. I mean, the third one was pretty bad, but what I love about it is how all three movies are very aware of what they are and what they're doing, and they kind of break the fourth wall a little bit, but they kind of,
there's a wink and a nod to the audience.
Yeah. And I'm really glad they brought the franchise back. You know, it's been 10 years, and it's kind of cool. It's very nostalgic, you know, because I remember seeing Scream 1. I remember the theater and who I was with and all of that, and then 10 years, you know, later, my life is completely different.
Yeah. Are you really think you do think that Scream 4 is going to be good? Or is it going to be absolute? It's just going to be a giant turd.
I mean,
in vinegar.
Well, I don't know. It's crazy because they have, it's so star powered, but that's how they geared all three of them, was having it so star powered. But you know, back,
I don't know if you could say that the first one wasn't star powered. It had Courtney Cox.
Yeah, but I mean Drew Barrymore. You know.
And was Sarah Michelle Gellar in that one too?
She was in the second one.
Well, no, but they did that. But all the other characters, like Matthew Lillard was in it. And,
yeah.
And what's her name? The freaky chick from...
Rose McGowan?
Yes. But she was like, she wasn't known at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because when that came out and, you know, she played like the ditzy cheerleading blonde, and that's like completely 180 from her real life persona.
Yeah. Oh, a little bit of note on Rose McGowan. Do not badmouth her on Twitter, because she has followers that will go after your throat.
Yes, I'm doing that right when we hang up.
Yeah, I was watching, I think it was, I was watching Nip Tuck, because she was on Nip Tuck, and I made some disparaging comment about her duck lips, because I'm like, I think it's ironic. She's on a show, Nip Tuck, and she's like one of the worst plastic surgery nightmares out there.
Yeah.
And just the people are like, no, she's a beautiful woman. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah, what they do is they search Rose McGowan name, and then they find you, and they
search. The only other time that that's happened was I made some disparaging comments about Kate Walsh this summer, and her followers came out in mass.
Oh God.
But funny thing to the story is there's a couple people that then started following me, and we have these interesting conversations on Twitter. So, but it's weird because sometimes like Kate Walsh like responded to me.
Nice.
Very politely. She was nice. She was really classy. She was taken out of context, or it was, so I apologize to her, but that's weird. It's weird to have a celebrity then come back and be like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. And I'm like,
ooh. We had Brett Ratner called out my friend when he saw New York, I Love You. And he was like, surprisingly, Brett Ratner's, section was really good, and Brett replied, "No, this is a verified account." And he was like, "What are you trying to say? I'm a bad director?" And my friend totally copped out and was like, "No, I love all your movies, blah blah." And I was like, "Why are you being a pussy? Just tell him everything you've done sucks, but I really enjoyed what you did." But it was just so funny that Brett Ratner like searched himself so he could call out people.
That happens all. It happened to me about a month ago. I watched Nightmare on Elm Street, and I was really drunk when I was tweeting about it. And it's funny, if you watch my tweets, they just deteriorate into complete nonsense. But at one point, I make a comment about, and this is relevant to this discussion because Wes Craven did Nightmare on Elm Street. I made a comment about Heather Langenkamp being hot. I said, but she had Tabitha Stevens' teeth.
You know, you obviously
you're a fan.
Yeah, I know Miss Stevens.
And so, like, then, like, the next day, Tabitha Stevens tweets me, and she's like, what's wrong with my teeth?
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
And I'm like, I've been a fan. And like, I've been a fan since, and I, like, named, like, a, like an obscure movie she was in, like her, one of her early films, and she's like, oh, thanks.
Wow.
So I follow Tabitha Stevens now for science.
Of course.
speaking of prosthetics, let's talk about the next franchise that does not star Johnny Depp or Angelina Jolie, is Star Trek, which is, they've had some crappy movies. I know there's been some shit out there with Star Trek, but it's a great franchise, and it's lived for as long. They've done what, like, if you count the new one, it's like 11 movies or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, any series can hope to have 11 movies and have 5 or 6 really good ones. And I think Star Trek achieved that. So, and J.J. Abrams he did a great job with Star Trek last year. I can't wait for the next one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be pretty honest here. Now,
well, you haven't been honest with them.
I lied the entire episode until now.
You're like, we have not talked to Brett Ratner at all.
not a huge fan of the Star Trek films. But with Ratner,
Bratner, is he mated with himself and having a kid? Is that like the latest? Is that like Tomcat?
With JJ, I mean, like JJ, the new reborn Star Trek, I mean, appeals to young, every type of audience, the fanboy and the non fanboy and just the average moviegoer. I'm really excited to see what he's gonna do with the franchise and bring it back. I still think William Shatner could kick anyone's ass, though.
Oh yeah. Oh, he totally could. Let's move to the next one. You've got the next one.
The next one is going to be Back to the Future, which I'm fairly certain anyone that's alive right now would throw this in their favorite franchise film.
Anyone that's alive right now, that's everybody. I mean, that's painting the world with a broad brush.
Even
some Sherpa in the mountains who's like 86 years old is like, yeah, the Back to the Future's awesome.
Sherpa.
God knows why a Sherpa's talking like that. like the Sherpa's from like Kentucky. Hey, what's going on? We love me some Back to the Future.
Oh man, you are making Adam Sandler proud right now. No, I mean the Back to the Future films are timeless, and everybody wants to either be, you know, Doc Brown or Marty McFly. I actually tried to be McFly for Halloween, but I couldn't find the vest, and that really bummed me out. But I actually watched, you know, when it came out on Blu-ray, what, like a month ago?
Yeah, it was in October or something.
Yeah, the 25th anniversary. I actually I rewatched all three back to back, and I was not a big fan of the third one when I saw it, but I haven't.
I love the third one.
Well, I hadn't seen it since it released a long time ago, and when I saw it again, I was like, man, this is awesome. I've grown to become a huge fan of Westerns over the last probably 4 years. Yeah. And one of my favorite is Duck, You Sucka. And I love the third as equally as the first and second, even though the second one is way better than the first.
I don't know about that. Yeah, that's a tall hill to climb.
That's a tall hill to climb, but we can do it. We don't need roads where we're going.
Yeah, what I liked about the third one, though, was that it's one of the few lighthearted fun westerns.
Yeah.
And because they don't make those anymore. And I think I said this when we originally reviewed it back in October. The when they release westerns nowadays, it's always something dark and heavy and brooding, like 310 to Yuma or Appaloosa or any of these movies, and they're always an Oscar bait film. Whereas I'm like, just do a good old fun western.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't do those anymore. So speaking of westerns, the next one, which is the last franchise, is Star Wars, which is Western in space. I am a Star Wars baby. I was five, actually, when the first Star Wars movie came out. Loved it. Saw every movie in the theater. Absolutely enjoyed it. I was a kid. I was six when the Star Wars Holiday Special came out, as we mentioned before, and loved that movie. So even the prequels. I like the prequels. I will go. I mean, yes, there's problems with it.
What do you feel?
Anakin Skywalker at any age can't act.
What? You didn't like Jake Hill? That was his name, right? The kid?
Jake Lloyd,
yeah.
Well, I mean, are you an angel? I mean, it's terribly acted stuff, and it's poorly written, but they're Star Wars movies, and I love them. Even the Clone Wars. I like the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The cross-dressing Jabba the Hutt, I could have gotten.
Well, how I guess Jar Jar didn't bother you too much? He didn't bother me.
Jar Jar was okay. I understand where Jar Jar came from, but I wasn't that annoyed with Jar Jar. He was irritating, but it didn't bother me that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people are like, oh my gosh, it's stupid. I'm like, did you ever see Return of the Jedi? The friggin' Ewoks? Seriously? And then people are complaining about because I think the thing, people look at the first three movies with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
And like they say, oh, they're crappy dialogue in these sequels. And I'm like, have you seen Empire Strikes Back? Everyone holds that up as the best one. And it is. But there's some real shit dialogue in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, bad jokes, one-liners, you know, out-of-place stuff, like, you know, 3PO quoting odds and stuff like that. But still, it was a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. I like the franchise as well. I remember buying, getting them on VHS, and it's just watching them over and over and over. And a lot of people are saying that the recent three, not, I guess not so recent, but the prequels ruined the whole thing. And I mean, it is what it is, and I think Hayden Christensen's an awful actor. I mean, there's nothing he's been in. Life as a House, he was decent in Life as a House, but. As far as, you know, being one of the greatest villains in film history, he didn't hold up nearly as well as James Earl Jones' voice.
Well, but it's also the breath mask.
Very true.
I mean, if you had James Earl Jones without the breath mask on, it would have looked really stupid.
Especially if he was his character from The Sandlot and he was blind.
Or if you had David Prowse. I interviewed David Prowse once.
Really?
And like you interview and you expect you just Darth fucking Vader. And you call him up and he's like, hello, how you doing? Just like, what?
Wait.
Am I talking to C-3PO here? And he's like, no, I'm told. This is David Prowse. What's going on? I gotta go lift some weight. Governor. Yes, he sounds just like Dick Van Dyke.
Oh man. That's awesome.
So anyways. I think we're done. Let's get out of this segment.
Let's do it. Hey, we are back with Bad Guys at the Movies. We were just discussing Kevin's accents and Star Wars.
My ability to do a brilliant David Prowse accent.
And our five favorite franchises not starring Mr. Depp or Mrs. Jolie or Mrs. Jolie Pitt, however you like to say it. And now we are going to do our DVD roundup, and I'm gonna pass the talking off to Mr. Carr.
You got to lead it in the world famous DVD roundup.
Did you say the world famous DVD roundup?
See, that is what the audience expects.
Now we're going into our world famous DVD.
Oh, we already did it. We already did it. We're good.
we put them down for seconds.
There we go. Second sticks. There. See, you're an old filmmaker. You know what that means. Do you? Do you even sync sound in film school anymore?
Yeah, in some prereqs. We did.
Back when we used the old equipment.
Now it's all digital.
Wow. Anyways, what are your DVD picks? I'll let you go ahead and start.
Mine are going to be, which I'm sure is everyone, the entire planet, even babies.
The Sherpas up in the mountains.
Even the Sherpas in the mountains and unborn babies. babies coming out right now. It's going to be Inception. on Blu-ray. I mean, either on DVD or Blu-ray, whatever your preference is. I don't see there. Most movies I've seen on Blu-ray, I don't see a big difference in the quality. Like North by Northwest, I obviously did, but yeah. You know, switching, like I don't see a whole lot in a lot of these movies. But
I can tell the difference. You can put in a Blu-ray, and I even with the up conversion, I can tell the difference between a DVD and a Blu-ray pretty quickly.
Well, maybe I just need to watch more DVDs and then immediately pop in a Blu-ray.
Yeah. I actually showed it to people. I would take Avatar and I'd put in the Blu-ray, I'd put in the DVD, and you could totally tell the difference.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a depth of color difference.
There is the sound. I can tell in the sound for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. What's neat with the Blu-ray of Inception is you can just play the soundtrack through your Blu-ray player, and so you get that uncompressed 5.1 sound.
See, my problem is the only thing I have on Blu-ray is Inception and Geely Criterion, so that's probably why I haven't noticed a difference.
Geely Criterion. for the Criterion fans who want a coaster.
But yes, Inception, Blu-ray. There's two different versions. I have not seen there's like the three disc, Blu-ray, the DVD combo, digital, and then there's the other one with the briefcase, with the script. And I guess you can get that at what, like Best Buy?
They didn't send that one out for review.
No, they didn't. Inception it's surprisingly not in my top 10 this year. But I did thoroughly enjoy the visuals and the
story. I liked it better watching it on Blu-ray. It just was so hyped, and I think the sound wasn't quite balanced right in the theater for me.
Yeah, that you know, that's one thing that just sucks. Like the experience can really make or break how you feel about a movie. And I've seen movies, you know, like highly anticipated movies that. People around me are like chewing loud and shaking their ice in their cup, and it just like kills the movie for me. Way off topic.
No, that's cool. What's your other pick?
Other one is David Cronenberg's Videodrome, which is now on a Criterion for DVD and Blu-ray.
Which the kids will watch and they won't understand it because they'll be like, "What's that tape thing that he's using?"
They'll be like, well, "Was that like back in the westerns? What's going on? Why is that TV round?"
Yeah, exactly.
Videodrome is one of my favorites of Cronenberg. I haven't been a big fan of his recent stuff. I didn't care.
Oh, his like 70s and 80s stuff is definitely his best.
Absolutely, I agree. Even the. TV, the Friday the 13th TV show, the episode he did.
Wow.
You're
going to throw that in there, huh?
But yeah, Criterion, it's they're just like the stuff that they're coming out with is great. It's a lot of the older releases, and especially people like you and I that, you know, are watching those older ones over and over, and it sucks that they're not released. You know, now they're being released. One that I didn't care too much for was Kronos, that a lot of people are oogling over.
I'm not a big fan of Kronos myself, but yeah, I think it's cool that it got a Criterion release. We actually do have to move on. Sorry to interrupt you. But we got about a minute left, so I'm just going to rock through mine real quick. We got Shrek Forever After, if you want to, which is better than the third one. Alice in Wonderland 3D. So if you got if you were on Oprah's show and you got the 3D Blu-ray player, you can watch that. 20th Century Fox has a $300-some 75th anniversary box set, which has like 75 films in it, which is kind of cool if you got the money. Stinker of the Week, Taylor Swift, her life, her story, unauthorized. I mean, she's like 20.
Bless her heart.
What can they say? She'd be like, I wound Kanye West. You know. Anyways, Chronicles of Narnia, we're wrapping it up. Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader gets a kind of rocks, and The Tourist gets a totally sucks. Next week, we're talking Tron Legacy, Yogi Bear, and How Do You Know? Thank you, Chase, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
You can get us. You can get him at GordonandtheWhale.com.
GordonandtheWhale.com. You can spell Gordon incorrectly, and you will find us.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for being on the show, and we'll talk to you later.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.